Are you on now?
I don't think so, because I'm not hearing myself.
Yeah, you are on.
Am I?
You are on.
And my headphones are all the way down.
Hold on a second. Let me see.
Which one are you plugged into? Yes?
Are you good now?
I hear you. Yeah, I guess so.
You just have so many inputs on that one mic. Talk.
You can bring that down. I'll cover this, but it sounds like there's something that's totally weird about what's going on.
Talk.
Hello, time for American Hit Radio on 90.3 WHBC, coming to you from a can inside of a can. I'll just continue. All right. Of course, it is 5 p.m. Heidi and I do this every Wednesday and Friday between 5 and 6 p.m. And we are going to continue our series of two lists, the top 500 of the top 40 and the alternative top 40, by getting back to the alternative side of things. We are going to be discussing today King Crimson, a band that we did discuss on their first album, but we have not discussed it since. And there's a problem because the phone is ringing. And I can tell that means that there's a problem.
Well, your levels are on there.
How do the levels look?
I don't know. I mean, mine are really loud and yours are not.
And mine are not. See, there's definitely something wrong with my mic. Okay, I'm just going to, rather than talk too much, maybe we can get this fixed while we play a track. The album is King Crimson, Lark's Tongue in Aspic. It was a big deal when this album came out, because it was a brand new lineup. Robert Fripp pretty much fired everybody that was in the band before. And this is the replacement band. Are we going to try a different mic?
That's much better.
How come that happened?
I don't know.
Wow.
Maybe because they have two inputs on the one mic.
Yeah, this is not my normal mic, but I'm glad to use it at the moment. Okay. Hi, everybody. Time for American Hit Radio on 90.3 WHBC. Sorry for the sidetrack there. I don't know if you heard it, is that we're going to be covering a King Crimson album today called Lark's Tongues in Aspic. Very strange title. Very strange, very challenging album. There's a lot about it that takes some adjusting. Now, I'd like to offer a toast to King Crimson, though, for doing something that is relatively remarkable. They more or less reinvented rock and roll with this album by reinventing the idea of what progressive rock could be. So here's to a band that started out with incredible promise, their first album with Greg Lake on lead vocals, but then became completely lost in a mire of personnel changes and lack of vision, only to rise from the ashes in a complete reinvention of itself to become the best progressive band of all time. Yes, the best. No, not yes. They would continue the same on-again, off-again pattern for the next five decades. Few bands have such versatile and varied discographies as does King Crimson, but frankly, nobody is likely to have retained any interest were it not for this album, Lark's Tongues in Aspic. Before its release, the name King Crimson meant really little more than Robert Frum and a team of his acolytes. After this lineup, the band is identified. This is identified as the classic lineup that the band had ever had. This is the album that justified their earlier self-indulgence while setting the table for all that followed. It screams from the pain of self-flagellation while sounding masochistically as if they are enjoying every second. When asked about the nature of the band, drummer Bill Bruford, who just joined, replied, "Everything you've heard about the band is true. It's an absolutely terrifying place." For reasons that betray any pretense at logic, Bruford had just quit the incredibly successful band Yes to willfully, quote, suffer at the hand of Robert Fripp's theoretical composition style, like going over the Berlin Wall into East Germany, as Bill Bruford noted. He found himself paired with an intensely whimsical percussionist named Jamie Muir, who reveled in the whisper to a scream dynamics and a literal bag of tricks, from sheet metal to bicycle horns to chains on gongs. He even had blood capsules that he would keep in his mouth that he would like suddenly climb the PA and chew on it, so he would suddenly be like dripping blood from his mouth. He was a very theatrical percussionist. John Wetton played bass and sang with a dry, ironic tone so strong that it even infected the instrumental passages with the same tone. New member there, too. David Cross, yet another new member. His violin attempts to bring some sanity and peace to the proceedings, but the intensely experimental dynamics reign supreme. The sweeping sprawl and extreme volume shifts were unprecedented in popular music, suggesting the obsessively intense nature of Robert Fripp better than any previous King Crimson album. From this point forward, Fripp would be relentless, ramping up the intensity whenever the muse would strike, or temporarily disbanding the group whenever it did not. What other band creates music that moves effortlessly from Indonesian gamelan to heavy metal, with Mellotron for orchestration, of course, in a matter of minutes? This is superhuman stuff, no joke, and I've never come across another act that could even emulate this. John McLaughlin? Bah. Yes? No. Miles Davis? No, not even Miles. This music is so painfully cranial and varied that I have a hard time understanding why anyone would even attempt it, no less succeed. 1973 was the year that rock and roll set off in a multitude of varied directions, but King Crimson covered more ground than anyone else. We'll start off with part one of the album's title track, simply called Lark's Tongue. I always want to make it singular, but it's actually plural. Lark's Tongues in Aspic, part one. Thank you.
We'll be right back.
How's that for an unusual way to open up an album and to reintroduce an entirely new band? King Crimson is anything but normal, and it's not the easiest band to adjust to if you are into like party music or normal rock and roll. I think that Robert Fripp would cringe if he ever heard anybody call him a rock and roll artist. But that is his audience are people that come from that. Even though what he does is much more akin to, say, Bela Bartok or free jazz in a lot of ways. But it's really not free at all because he is so intricate and so precise about what it is and how he plays and the finger patterns that he plays. I mean, it's quasi heavy metal jazz fusion. Which sounds terrible. I know it really does. And maybe with what you just heard, you might think, what? But give the album a chance, because now we're going to have a couple of vocal tracks. The main voice that, well, the vocalist of the band was the bassist is John Wetton, the bassist. He's basically replacing the last great vocalist in the band was Greg Lake. You could toss a coin to decide which one basically did a better job. From my taste, John Wetton is the voice of King Crimson. But this track, relatively shorter, a lot more straightforward than what we just heard. It's called Book of Saturday on 90.3 WHPC.
If I only could deceive you, forgetting the game, every time I try to leave you, you laugh just the same. Cause my wheels never touch the road, and the jumble of lies we told just returns to my back to weigh me down. We lay cards upon the table, the backs of our hands, and I swear I like your people, the boys in the band. Reminiscence is gone astray, coming back to enjoy the fray in a tangle of night and daylight sound.
Right there with those two tracks back to back, you get this incredible sense of scope with what this band is willing to take on, and the width of the band's personality. Besides the songs with lyrics, all the lyrics are written by Richard Palmer James, I believe, because his name always appears on everything that's got words, including this next track entitled Exiles. I believe that this was a song that was once an instrumental piece that the older band once did. It used to be called Mantra, but then the lyrics were added, And this band basically changed the melody a little bit and fattened it out to make it almost 8 minutes long. So let's hear what how side one ended on the album Lark's Tongues in Aspic by King Crimson.
Thank you.
And if you were playing the vinyl version of the album, that would be the end of side one of the album, Lark's Tongues in Aspic by King Crimson. We're going to play side two very shortly. I'd just like to make one point. It's come to my attention that Ian McDonald, an original member of the band from back around the time of their very first album with 21st Century Schizoid Man, he was the sax player in the band back in those days, and he passed away about 2 weeks ago. So I'd like to dedicate Exiles to the memory of Ian McDonald while we play the band that he helped to found, although it moved on in so many different ways. I doubt that he would have even recognized it these few short years later. Side two is not very much different than side A. In fact, it takes everything and it exaggerates it even more. The stylistically almost schizophrenic aspect of side A is even more so on side two, which means to say that the commercial bits are a lot more commercial and the weird bits are a lot weirder. So let's get to it. The album, side two, starts with the most commercial track on the album, a song entitled Easy Money.
Awesome.
the beginning of side two, where you can really hear the ingenious interplay.
It's a little manic there at the end, isn't it?
Well, what you're hearing is the interplay, but mostly on the track, between Bill Bruford and the percussionist Jamie Muir, with his thumb pianos, musical saws, shakers, rattles, baking trays, pieces of sheet metal. And in the meantime, there's Bill Bruford, like playing with all these crazy time signatures. He said that he loved playing at King Crimson because it was the only band where he would be able to play in 1716 and yet still sleep in nice hotels. This next track features them both. It's called The Talking Drum. It's an instrumental.
Apparently, well, that was more than just talking drums.
A lot more, yes. Well, unfortunately, we only have time for one more, which is actually a good thing because there's only one more track to play from this relentlessly challenging album. I hope that we were able to at least intrigue you regarding this astoundingly weird and yet innovative band, King Crimson. There's one song left, and again, it's like it's part two of where we started from the title. It's called Lark's Tongues in Aspic. It's the only song that is written entirely by Robert Fripp, so hold on to your hats. Thanks for standing with us, folks. We'll see you next week.